Drive Guys with you on your home of the Kings. Sacramento soon could be at least a temporary home of the A's. Yeah. We don't have any news report on today's meeting yet. Keeping an eye on it. We may not get any announcement today. We could get some kind of announcement as soon as tomorrow, but just so you know, we are keeping an eye on the situation. Just checking Carmichael Dave on Twitter. He has some interesting things to say on this whole situation, what it is, what it isn't. Nothing new. No breaking news, but we'll have to circle back to some of these thoughts on what he says this whole situation is and was what it is. I'm not sure I agree with Carmichael Dave.
Really?
Right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
A little smoke here.
So, we will get to that. But for now, we're talking about the Sacramento Kings, and people are excited about the Kings. That roller coaster now is on the way up, Drapes.
It is, man. And it feels good, right?
We got our hands up. Yeah.
We're feeling good. Two straight wins. And, man, you got this four-game road trip, Whitey. What do we need? 3-1? 2-2 you'd be happy with?
The end here on our chat says, I can't help but think, what if the Kings just win out the rest of the season? They can beat everyone left on the schedule, realistically.
That's just a homer talking right there. Like
that's a fan. I guess. Tall task, but momentum is a crazy thing, comments the end.
Boston, though?
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love
you make. When's the last time we beat the Celtics? I got to look that up. It's been a while. I don't know if we've beaten them since I've been here, and this is my fourth year.
You would know.
And there have been some bad losses. I'm about to look that up right now because that's the one where I'm like, I just don't know, guys. Second night of a back-to-back, too?
I can tell you it was February of 1986.
Oh, you remember that?
When Larry Bird missed two free throws and said, these are the best fans in the NBA.
Right, right.
That was a lot of time.
I got it right here. Head-to-head all time. The Kings have lost 5 straight. Oh, I guess we did beat them my first full season here. My first season here that we beat them. 107-96 and 116-111. But then since then.
Beat them twice that year?
Twice. Swept them that year. I'd have to look at the box score and see who played and who not. But since then, January 25th, 2022, 128-75 Celtics.
March 18th. Wait, 128-75?
Yes. 53-point. I was in Boston. We were down 60 at one point. I was there for that game. All right, then we play them at home. Okay, we got them. March 18th, 2022. 126-97 Celtics. So what's
Kings
that, 29,
up,
all right? Then November 25th, 2022 in Boston. Hey, 122-104.
All right,
okay, we're getting there. Then March 21st, 2023 in Sacramento, 132-109. Then December 20th, 2023, this season, 144-119.
I've never seen you like that.
Dude,
I've known
game,
you a long time.
I was, yes.
I've never seen
that
you
one
like
hurt.
That
one hurt right there. That was that one. They came into our building and spanked us. 144-119.
You
I was
made
emotional.
That one personal for you.
Yes,
didn't you?
It was a personal one. You know, yeah. Cedric Maxwell talking to smack. You know, it was a rough one, man. It's you know, and I'll be honest with you. When I left Boston and came here. You know, people thought I was crazy. Why would you go to a franchise like Sacramento? Why would you go there? And so I've been hoping to kick their butts ever since then. Like, see, y'all take that. And so just these last 5 meetings have not been pretty for the Kings.
No, they haven't, which means they're due, of course. It's funny. We all do it. I do it. You do it. We talk about how the Kings are going to make up for Malik Monk, and we talk almost exclusively about offense. Right now, what the Kings are doing, at least what they did last night, defense is a huge part of it. John D. on the chat points out, since March 1st, Kings are 6th in defensive rating, 2nd in rebounding percentage, 5th in steals, 5th in deflections, 5th in opponents' points in the paint, says John D. Haven't looked that up, but I'll take him
at his word. Okay.
And how about this? Let's see. The Kings now have held the opponent under 100 5 times in the last 12 games. It's almost half the last 12 games. Kings have held the other team under 100. Before that, the Kings had held the opponent under 100 5 times in 63 games.
Wow. Yeah, they're doing a much better job defensively. And when you look at it over these last few games that you're talking about, like, the Clippers are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they got, you know, we're facing Detroit or somebody like that that's hard to score again, you know, hard to get buckets. You know, I'm looking at some of the other numbers here. Who else have we held? Sixers with Tyrese Maxey. You don't know Embiid, but then Toronto you locked down.
Think Milwaukee is even the start.
94 for Milwaukee, yeah. Yes, yeah. With yeah. Giannis and Dame out there.
You remember Dame was lost.
Yes,
that game.
Yes, he checked out on that one. And then the Knicks, and I know they play in a grinded-out style. It's interesting because I think that was the first loss in the last two seasons when we had held an opponent under 100 points. Usually, if you hold somebody under 100, if you're Sacramento, yeah. that's an automatic win because
yeah.
your offense is going to. That one game was the first one, I think, in the last two seasons where we did not win when we allowed less than 100 points.
We talked about it a lot during the most of the season, the fact that the Kings could not stop the ball on the perimeter. They could not keep the ball out of the paint. And now what do we have? We have with Keon Ellis, and we have with the officials calling the games differently.
Yeah.
You have James Harden last night saying, they did a good job of blitzing me and trapping me, and I just couldn't get anything going on the perimeter.
On the perimeter. It's a clinic that they ran yesterday, and Trey Lyles talked about, you know, them executing the game plan. And I also want to give some credit to some of the bigs also. Like, I remember seeing Alex Len out there, you know, on a little trap. But, you know, he's big. He got his hands up. Like, he made
ain't
it
no little
really,
trap
yeah,
if he's
ain't
out
no, right. He made it extremely difficult. So shout out to him as well.
Yeah, I know, as I mentioned last night, you had Trey Lyles and Davion. They both mentioned post-game the game plan. And they said, you know, we followed the game plan. I have to think a lot of it was defensive stuff that Mike Brown did want to talk about specifically. But the key there is mixing it up.
Right.
The key there is, you know, because the Kings do, they junk it up a little, which that's always been kind of a derogatory term in basketball. To me, there's nothing derogatory about being clever with when you throw different things at teams. But they do a good job of, like you say, all of a sudden it's like, you know, you have De'Aaron and you have Keon on you. Then all of a sudden, whoa, now I got Alex Lynn is
big Alex
me.
Lynn.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eric Spoelstra does a great job of that, too, in Miami, switching things up, you know. And I think we're seeing over the last month, the Kings, you know, Mike Brown at times before the last month, he would switch things up late in games when you had to, you know.
Yeah.
But
it was
now
a Warrior game early in the year where they did that and it almost worked.
They almost
started trapping and they almost came back and won.
But I think that we're seeing it a little earlier now, you know, whether it's switching the zone, whether it's the trapping, like he's throwing everything, you know, the full 48. It's not just, all right, let me just throw it in the fourth quarter when we're down 10 or 15 and have to come back.
And they're like, mixing zone in.
Yeah, they're mixing the zone in, and I think that's catching teams off guard, you know. And so, and I think, too, you got to play to the strengths of your team. If your team isn't known as a lockdown perimeter defender, and I know they're doing a better job of that as of late, especially, you know, because they're allowing them to play a little more physical. But, you know, if you don't have the Marcus Smarts of the world, the, you know, Tony Allen, like the real lockdown perimeter defender, sometimes it's okay to go zone.
Prime
zone.
Avery Bradley.
Prime Avery. That's your guy right there. Hey, I love Avery Bradley. I remember AB in Boston. He was amazing. But, yeah, if you don't have that guy, you know, mix it up sometimes. It's okay. It's like being a pitcher. Like, we've talked about it before. If you only got one pitch, the fastball, if they figure that out, which is going to be your
Even
secondary
if it's a
pitch.
Good fastball,
right.
They're going to tee off
exactly.
on you.
And so I think Mike Brown has done a great job recently of just mixing things up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think this is now becoming the team's identity? You know, we talk about that a lot. Maybe we make too much of it. I don't think so. To me, an identity is when a team goes out there, they know that we can do these things. This is how we do things to give ourselves the best chance to win. It looks like being that scrappy team that is going to give maximum effort defensively, it looks to me like they're embracing that.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. We thought, oh, you know, maybe we just need to embrace, you know, being a 125-point scoring team. But then you become the Indiana Pacers. And
yeah.
We got bigger, loftier goals than that. And Mike Brown all season long has been preaching, I'm trying to get these guys ready for the playoffs. I'm trying to get them ready for the playoffs. And so that's what you're seeing, a playoff style of basketball as of late. It'll be interesting come Thursday because this is something we talked about before. The Knicks.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the style you want to play against
right.
them?
The you Knicks know, like, oh, like, you want to do that?
Okay,
all that, right.
It's like being a boxer. You're fighting their style now. Can you win that way? We'll see tomorrow. But that's going to be a
NFL
massive
Films
game.
Films clip where is it? I don't know, Ray Lewis or somebody. I like that kind of party.
Exactly. And then you come to that with the Knicks, Brunson and those guys are like, all right, I like that. Let's go. That's what we want. That's what Tibbs wants. And so I'll be interested to see how we fare tomorrow night.
Continuing to take the most optimistic view that we can.
Yes.
Looking ahead to the rest of the season. Aaron says, Boston clinched the number one seed. They're probably resting their starters late.
It doesn't matter, man. Their bench has just annihilated us, too. It's just something like Peyton Pritchard will go off on us. Sam Hauser will go off on us. They're deep enough where it doesn't matter.
When the Celtics came here and won and you were so mad about those guys.
Right.
And the bench, like, who are these guys?
Who are these guys? I did not give them any respect because I'm like, Sam Hauser's going to come in and beat you? Dude, no offense to Sam Hauser, but a guy named Sam Hauser is going to come in and kick your butt.
No offense.
No offense to Sam Hauser, but oh my gosh, I remember that game and I was so upset. You're right, Whitey. I was so upset at how we performed in that game because, I was ready to talk some trash. Yeah, Cedric Maxwell in the
Tatum
building.
Was out. Tatum and Horford or something. They were missing.
Yeah, they were already missing a few guys. And so, you know, to a point, it doesn't matter who they have on Friday. The Celtics just somehow find a way to kick our butts. And Sam Hauser started that game. He had 10 points. Peyton Pritchard had 20.
I'm
honest. Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard had 30 points. Jaylen Brown, 28. Porzingis, 24. Derek White, 28. Holiday, 21.
Derek White
they had five guys with 20 or more points against us.
Yeah.
And none of them were Jason Tatum or Al Horford because neither of those two guys played.
Ryan Williams-Art, go 5-2. He says, I can accept losses to Boston and OKC, but if we lose one of the other games, then I feel we better win against Boston or OKC. He says, 5-2 is my target for the sixth seed.
I would like that, and I'm with you on that. If they go 5-2,
that
Whitey.
Sweeping that back-to-back at home.
That
it's a Pels
and
the Suns.
Phoenix, yeah. I mean, if I'm being realistic here, you know, I think the Brooklyn game should win. I think we'll get the Pelicans, right? It's hard to beat a team five times in a season, right?
I mean, to me, if they beat you four times, there's a good chance they're going to beat you again. But
right,
I know.
All right.
I know.
But I'm looking at it. We're at 44 wins. If we go 5-2, like Ryan Williams-Art says, that's 49 wins.
That would be.
Think about that. This team at 49 wins, crazy.
Mm-hmm. Is Trey Lyles the new heart of this team? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Is Trey Lyles the new emotional core of this team now that Malik is there but not playing?
That's the question?
That's my question for you.
You're coming in hot with that question right from the break.
To me, he is.
Mm. Tell me why.
Because Domas and De'Aaron are the two leaders in terms of how well they play. And Keegan. We know that Keegan is still finding his way in some other things, and he's not very demonstrative. Domas is demonstrative, but is more focused on his play. And we've seen him get after teammates a little bit here there. De'Aaron is kind of almost above the fray, cool when he gets his, you know, he gets upset.
Yeah.
He provides leadership, you know, in terms of his play. But Malik was the type that he just seemed to set a tone emotionally that others followed. And I think with this team, I think it's something that's been lacking. Now Malik's out, and it looks to me like Trey Lyles, he comes back, and you can see it's like, okay, he's kind of filling that void. And you hear the things that he says. He recognizes that void. I think he is becoming that emotional core.
I hear you on that. And one thing I can tell you about Trey, and I've seen him behind the scenes, and, you know, he's not a quiet, shy guy or anything. You know what I mean? He's vocal. He's got an edge to him. He laughs and jokes with guys, too. Like, you know, the Trey we saw early in his time in Sacramento, it seemed like he was quiet. No, there's a fire burning there, and I think we're seeing that as of late, especially last night. Like I said, there were a couple of plays he made, a couple of rebounds, where you know, offensive rebounds where he kept the ball alive, came soaring out of nowhere. And I could argue, you know, on your point that he's sort of the emotional litmus of this team. You know, if we can see how this team is going, depending on how Trey is playing, how, you know, is he engaged? Is he diving, you know, or is he, you know, just sort of blending in? I thought yesterday he played with tremendous emotion and passion out there that helped this team out.
Remember yesterday when we were talking to the G-man, and by the way, anytime the G-man says, well, you better lace up your sneakers tight, that means, woo, they're in for it.
Yeah.
They're in for it. But he said he wanted to see the Kings play that way, and he mentioned seeing guys diving on the floor. And there was Trey Lyles last night. Yeah. I can think of two plays guys were on the floor. He was one of them. Every time we have that conversation about, boy, it'd be nice if they had a Dylan Brooks or Marcus Smart. Every time we have that conversation, we circle back to, well, who's most like that? And Trey Lyles is the guy that comes up.
Yeah, Trey Lyles, who's a nice guy, but you get him between those lines. I mean, he's not taking any crap. He's not taking any mess. And you need that. You need that person that, you know, can inspire. And, you know, he's not going to be a punk.
Really needs
it. This team really needs it. You know, you're not going to punk Trey Lyles on the court. You know, there's going to be some pushback from Trey Lyles, and I think this team needs that. And I was impressed with him yesterday, and we're going to need it, especially these next two games. You know, I want to see, remember, Trey didn't play that last Knicks game, if I'm correct. So this is the kind of game, you know, I could see Trey mixing it up a little bit.
You know, you mentioned yesterday that they're, I think you said they were 10-6 in March.
Yeah, 10-6 in March. Their best month.
Yeah, but you know, they were without Trey Lyles for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Which made that even more impressive.
Yeah, he missed 9 games in the month of March. So, you know, you played 16. He only played 7 of those games. He missed 9 games. And, you know, I know he wasn't playing that great before he got hurt, but what he provides to this team, we talked about, you know, the emotional lift that he provides, but also the ability to defend, to switch out. He's a massive part. Even last season, down the stretch, he was a big part of what we had going on.
I think Alex Lynn adds some of that edge too. But again, Alex Lynn, I mean, for a guy who's, you know, he's huge.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
And he's very physical. He's a decent guy, right? But it's the way he plays.
Right.
He's not going to get in fights with people. Not that he'd ever back down.
Yeah.
But the way he plays is so physical, that sets a tone too.
Yeah, and I thought he took it up another notch last night, right from the jump, you know, with his blocks and his rebounding. And that's why he got the defensive player of the game chain. Like, he came in like a man on a mission.
Yeah.
He was ready to stand on some business. And so that's why I love the fact, you know, yesterday Alex Lynn played, let me pull it up here. Oh, that's the Celtics one. Yesterday Alex Lynn played only 12 minutes, but he was a plus 18. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and I'm not a big plus minus guy, but 12 minutes, you're a plus 18. That's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
One quarter of basketball with Alex Lynn out there, you went on a run. And as a matter of fact, somebody tweeted it out, and I didn't see this, but the Kings went on a crazy run against the Clippers, and it was without Domantas Sabonis on the floor.
Ooh.
Like, that run at the end of the first, beginning of the second, that was Domantas Sabonis on the bench. It was guys like Alex Lynn, Davion, Trey playing huge minutes right there.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. JR is with us, Sacktown Sports. Hello, JR. How are you?
What's up, boys?
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey.
Yo, what's
what do
up?
You think? 5-2, 6-1, 7-0 the rest of the way?
Yeah, that's it. That's all we got is wins, wins, wins.
Okay.
Do you guys remember when Trey choked out one of the Lopez brothers last year?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was
awesome.
Yeah, that was.
That was when the Greek freak
Giannis
did a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the instigator, and he walked around and was like, "Oh, nobody works with him." And then Trey said, "Oh, none of that."
Yeah.
And then Lopez tried to jump in, and I went, "Nah, you're the weaker of the two Lopez brothers. We've seen it." So took him down, man. Yes, I loved him last night. And you might have talked about it. I'm sorry. Murray's dunk down the middle.
Yes.
Was, I don't know what, maybe it's because our boy, sister, you know, took that. It was like he left from the free throw line. It looked like friggin' Michael Jay coming down on a dunk contest. And it got Sabonis so pumped. I mean, he was like, big old smile, like, yes, that's what we need out of you, young man, Keegan. Oh, that fired me up. That was a pretty – I mean, we need more of that.
Well, JR, were you at the game last night, or did you watch on TV?
I'm not allowed to go. I'm like 0-8. I go and I sit outside because honest to God, I'm like 0-8. I am live going down there in the arena, and I have some friends, and you know, I get connected to get into games down, do my thing, but I haven't been since they lost that eighth game in a row that I saw. I haven't seen them beat the Warriors for like 2 years.
Okay.
I'm about to throw up my own mouth when I just talk about it, for God's sake.
Well, the reason I ask is because then you saw Drape's call. We've been talking a lot today about the call by Draper on that dunk last night. It was spectacular.
Oh, spectacular. Drapes, you are the man. We love when you do that stuff.
Thank you.
I mean, Katie's speechless when you come up with a good one-liner, dude. He's like, I don't know what to say. I used to play in the WNBA. Yeah, girl.
Is that what she does? That's all right.
Yeah, she drops out like, oh, well, I was a really good basketball player. And you're over there going, he is spinning in the mixer. He's got him upside down. I'm freaking it out.
Thank you,
JR. Great call, JR.
Yeah, you got a big call. You know, he gave you such a hard time during the football
right,
season.
Right, he did.
Now he worships.
Now, I never know what I'm going to get from JR. I was a little nervous. I'm like, oh, we taking this guy again? No, thank you, JR. I appreciate that.
There's a lot of that going on. Like, Compio here says, now Draper is agreeing with Ryan how the tides turn. And Ryan Williams says, we have a complicated relationship.
Yeah,
I think we have a number of those with our listeners.
Well, I got to kind of be nice to him because his wife is my daughter's teacher at school. So
but
I wanted to get
be.
I don't
Clearly
want to.
You don't want
hey,
to be.
Once the school year is over, all bets are off, my friend. The wrath of Drapes is going to come Ryan Williams' our way.
Well, just in time with Malik Monk going down, you have Trey coming back and filling some of that void for the Kings.
Yeah, let me ask you this, though.
Being a tough guy that they need.
You got Trey back. You got Sasha. Are you comfortable with the bench right now?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
No, I'm not saying, oh, they got it. Bench mob 2.0. But comfortable, because I still think there's a potential for more. I'll tell you this, and I know he's your guy. And I spoke to him, and he's a wonderful fella. And he's done some nice things. But Duarte, when he's on the floor, you know, you just mentioned plus minus. I noticed that when he's on the floor, plus minus isn't very good. I don't think he's been defending very well. He's made some shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not going after him.
Yeah, don't go after my guy.
Yeah.
Don't go after
I just, my guy. You know, you watch him and say, how come he didn't play more minutes? I don't think he's been defensively what they'd hoped, but I still think there's a chance for Sasha to contribute. And then right now, the way they're playing, you know, Mitchell's playing great. Trey's playing great, and Alex Lynn's playing really well.
Well, you know, here's the thing with Chris. You know, he's never been a defender. Like, that they're asking him to do things that he just has not been in his career. Like, you know, he's a bucket getter. And he's had some ebbs and flows, you know. And I'm looking at some of his numbers. In January, he played in 7 games, shot 36.4 from 3. February, only 6 games, short month too, shot 45% from 3. March, 13 games, shot 39.4 from 3. And so I think when you look at Chris Duarte, I think more than any player on the team, maybe I'll throw Sasha in on this as well, the inconsistent minutes has really affected him.
Well,
not knowing when he's going to play, if he's going to play, I think it has really affected him.
Having noticed those numbers you talked about and having noticed, wow, this guy can shoot, but having also noticed that he's not playing much, I have to think that he's not providing what Coach Brown would like to get from him at the other end. Because he has had some nice offensive moments.
But and the crazy thing is, I could point to a number of games where I thought – defensively, he actually did play well and made some changes. I go back to the road game against San Antonio when he was picking up Sohan full court and frustrating him. That changed the tenor
of that game. Then I don't know why he's not playing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I guarantee you, he probably doesn't know why he's not playing. That's why I said the inconsistent minutes and not knowing whether he's going to play, I would imagine that's taking a toll on him.
We'll get back to the Sacramento A's conversation. How does Sacramento stack up against other potential MLB expansion cities? And does it even matter? Next with the Drive Guys on Sac Dodge Board. Boston Red Sox beat the A's today, but That's not the A story.
That's not the story.
Yeah. Sacramento. We know that today, the Oakland A's. Can I even call them? I guess they're still the Oakland A's.
They're still the Oakland A's.
A's are meeting with Sacramento, discussing the possibility, of course, of the A's making Sacramento their home for the next 3 years, starting next season. We don't have any details out of that. We could have some details, possibly, as soon as tomorrow. So we're just hanging tight here, trying to figure this out. And we've got, you know, a lot of very interesting comments from people because it's a lot more complicated than something like this should be, Drapes.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And there's so many layers to this. And, you know, it's, you know, emotions involved in everything. And, you know, you don't want to step on anybody's toes. And, you know, the Vegas thing may fall through. We don't know what the Oakland situation is. Like, there's so many moving parts with this, and this could go in so many different directions here. Even if they do announce Sacramento, it still could go in different directions, yeah, you know, in the future, yeah.
On the chat we have, let's see here. Actually, this is a text line, pardon me, from the 916. What would happen if the A's made the playoffs or the World Series? Would MLB actually play those games in a 14,000 capacity stadium? I don't think
we ain't got to worry about that. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not waste any time on things that will never happen.
It's a good question.
Right. If we had a contending team, like an actual 25-man roster that contended, yes, that's a great question. But
I am wondering if they might bring in some bleachers in the grassy area,
yeah,
and
I think
actually
so.
Improve the increase the capacity, not because they anticipate being in the World Series, but they probably could still increase the capacity of that place.
Do you think they would sell out, though? Like, would the fans show up? That's a good question.
For some
too.
Games, I think they will.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they're going to sell it every game or anything like that.
Right. I mean, if they play in, you know, the White Sox or something like that, or
right.
I don't know about that. But the Yankees come to town, people are going to be wanting to get up in there.
Yeah. You and I were talking earlier about the possibility of the Players Association saying, "Hey, that's a minor league facility. We don't want to play there." From the 916, my son works at Sutter Health Park, said the clubhouse facilities were just significantly upgraded. I know they did upgrade in the offseason. To what extent, I don't know. But
right.
Yeah, thank you. I know that's true for a fact.
Man, it's a shame what's happening to that franchise and the players. Like, they're being treated like, you know, renters, really. You know what I mean? Like, their lease is expiring and they got to find a new home. I'm talking to players, you know, and you got families out there. And even if you do come to Sutter Health Home Park, the accommodations, you know, it's not up to major league standards, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, whether it's the clubhouse, whether it's the batting cages, whatever it may be, we're talking a major league baseball franchise. It'd be like, you know, the Sacramento Kings going to play not even at a G League stadium, but at like a junior college or something like that. It just
yeah,
be crazy
yeah.
to think.
It is true, though, that people, players have been saying that about Oakland.
Yeah, that the facilities,
I know,
too.
When I was there,
when
I was on a station where we were the flagship, and that's when you had like the sewage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Those facilities aren't good anyway.
From the 916, sorry, just want to add, I hope A's fans can respect each other's choices to go or not to go to support the team in Sacramento. There's no right answer. Being obstinate doesn't make you more of a fan than the rest of us who have probably spent a full 1 to 2 years of our lives watching A's games on TV and in Oakland.
That's interesting. Can respect each other's choices.
That's a good point.
It's up to, yeah, it's
you
up
feel
to
like
each
you
individual.
Feel fine.
Right.
Good for you. You don't want to go, but we just want to hang out at the park.
Right. Exactly. I want to take my kid to some Major League Baseball. Our guy Manny Too Legit even said it'd be his first time going to a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It looks like we're gonna get that opportunity today. As we said, no news yet. I wanted to take a quick look here at how Sacramento stacks up against other potential MLB expansion cities, because we think that perhaps part of this move is to give Sacramento a chance to audition for baseball. To show baseball, hey, we could have an expansion team. We do a great job here. However, Carmichael Dave on Twitter, here's what he posted 10 hours ago. He says, what this is, what this isn't. What it is could be 3 years here. What it is not is an expansion tryout. He says, what it is a play to keep them long term. That's Carmichael Dave. Well, then what is it?
I mean, I'm not buying that, right? Why do it then? Just for 3 years and, you know, there has to be some end game or some end goal, some hope if you're Vivek and city leaders, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't do this out of the niceness of your heart for John Fisher and the A's.
Right. Let's hope not. Yeah, it appears that, and I know Casey Pratt, I believe, has suggested this. It looks like Vivek, we talked about it earlier, Vivek wants to own a team. Vivek sees this situation and knows how hard it is to get an expansion team and says, hey, if we get this team and they come here, maybe if the Vegas thing falls through, and there's a lot of reasons why that could still fall through, maybe they end up staying here. Maybe they end up selling the team to me.
And that sounds like the most plausible, the most likely reasoning to do something like this. If you're you know, Vivek and the Sacramento leaders, it's because, like we said earlier, expansion. I just look at some of the other cities, the Austins of the world, Nashvilles. Yeah. You know, those are really growing areas. Young, hip areas, and so I think they'd probably be positioned more to get a expansion team. But if you already have one here and the Vegas thing falls apart and you prove that it's working and it can work, it's more likely that they would stay here.
Yeah, I agree with Dave on that, and I know that he's much better sourced on this story than I am, but when he says this is not an expansion bid, you know, there is that possibility, as we discussed, but it's unlikely when – to your point, you look at the other cities that have been trying to get an expansion team in Major League Baseball for years. Austin, San Antonio, Charlotte. I like our chances against Charlotte. Montreal, they've actually had Major League Baseball before. Mexico City, baseball likes that, but, you know, that's got some inherent problems. Nashville, most people around baseball seem to think Nashville's in. Nothing has been announced, but most people believe Nashville, it's almost a foregone conclusion. So if Nashville gets a team, then there would be only at most one more spot.
One more spot.
Yeah, Portland's been after baseball for a long time. So it would be, and I know Sacramento people, when you read this list to them, they go, oh, we can compete and we could beat out one of those cities. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, and I sort of bring at times an outsider's view of things, and I know the view of Sacramento is different inside than outside.
Thank you.
You know, it's, you know, anytime you mention California, it's LA, it's San Francisco. Oh yeah, Sacramento. And then people don't know about Sacramento, really. It's not at the forefront of, but people know from a vacation destination. I look at it like this. If you're a young person, and I'll say it like this, Nashville, bachelorette capital of the world, bachelorette parties. You go there with, you know, Whiskey Row, all that down there. It's same thing. Austin, Sixth Ave. We know this. What do people outside of Sacramento know about Sacramento from a young person's perspective? Mm-hmm. Like, and so it is what it is. I'm sorry. Austin's a sexier city. Nashville's a sexier city. Mm-hmm. You know, are they better sports cities? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying from an outside perspective, it'd be real hard-pressed to beat out any of those cities.
I didn't know this until I really started looking into this type of thing a couple years ago. But, yeah, it's Austin, San Antonio. But Austin is just apparently just
yes, it's exploding. Booming. Yes, yeah. It is exploding now. And I got people that work in the TV industry down there. And that market is growing and growing. And, you know, and it's only an hour from San Antonio. It's right down the street from San Antonio. It's sort of like Sacramento, San Francisco, the proximity. And it's booming right now. The housing market is booming. Everything's booming out there.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. How about Duncan? Duncan's with us on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Duncan.
I love how you pronounce my name each time. That's right.
Duncan.
Hey, first off, I want to say I totally remember the wiffle ball shot heard around the world way back in probably, the 90s?
It was in the 90s. It was at the K Street, the downtown plaza before they took it out to put a basketball arena in there. But, yes, I hit one in the upper deck. Yeah, at Macy's.
I'm boring everybody, but, you know, I go back, Whitey.
Thank you.
So, got back from spring training last week of March. Goodyear, Arizona is the spring home of the shared field for the Reds and the Guardians, the layout for their stadium is almost identical to our good old Sutter Health Park.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that the right field, what we have, the right field grassy berm, mm-hmm. about half of that section, you know, from the foul pole heading towards center field, is a big, huge, nice, probably, I think it's two-layer, like, bar, restaurant, lounge area that could bump the capacity, and then seating, could bump the capacity another, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 seats easy. But it's a beautiful layout.
All right, Duncan, thank you. Yeah, so I think there is a possibility, if they wanted to, I don't think it would be that hard to bump up the capacity. There, huh? I'm not saying you can go just like that at an upper deck and you're 50,000, but you get up near approach 20.
All right.
And I'm sure they're looking at all that, right?
Yes.
And we may know more as soon as tomorrow when we come back. 1, 2, 3 of the most bizarre ballpark foods you've ever heard of. Would you try any of these? We'll find out next. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, maybe we're getting a Major League Baseball team here. So in just a moment here, I happen to run across this today. Looking at a few of the more unusual ballpark menu items that are available this year. I'm curious whether you, Drapes, you, Simone, if you would be interested in these items or not. Just a few of them here as anxiously await word on the A's coming maybe to Sacramento. And we're getting ready, of course, for the Kings and this fateful road trip. On the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Question here from the 530. Who's going to pay for a stadium if the A's were to stay in Sacramento? The city? I don't know. I was hoping you would pay for the stadium, Drake.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I don't have money like that. Maybe
you're good for it.
Somebody from the 530 probably got that kind of money, maybe. Not Drapes. That's a
good question. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, when Vivek did that interview with CBS 13, and he said, I can't think of a reason why baseball wouldn't want to come here. Well, there's a big reason.
The money,
right there.
Yeah.
Where are they going to play?
Where are they going to play, and who's going to pay for that stadium? That's a big-time question. You're right.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Doug has been hanging on here. Doug, you're on with the Drive Guys. Thanks for hanging. What can we do for you?
Well, it's directed towards the Kings. So first off, Simone does a wonderful job of screening. I just want to make sure she gets her due.
She didn't yell at you or anything? She didn't demean you?
Oh, she is wonderful. You guys are lucky to have her. That's all I know.
Yes.
How's that? So first off, I have a question. Both of you gentlemen were either high school sports players or college and understand the whole camaraderie and all the fun times and that kind of stuff. Well, one thing I did notice last night, and when the Kings were playing before that game started, I'm going, God, I hope we have a chance to do well and be competitive. And if we get a win, it would have been fantastic. But while I'm watching the game, there's something that I haven't seen a lot of. But those guys were really enjoying themselves and having fun. And for me as a coach, that is important for me to see the players interacting and exchanging and high-fiving and smiling and all that kind of stuff. And the outcome helps when that third quarter's rolling and you watch the interaction between Sabonis and Murray and Mitchell and then Alex Len. Mm-hmm. You know, there was great contributions, and I think that, you know, sometimes we get caught up in all the seriousness of what's going on, but it was great to see those guys having fun out there, and I hope that they can continue that as they trek towards the season and the playoffs. That's all I have. Enjoy your show.
All right. Thank you,
Doug. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for hanging on to share that. Appreciate that. You know, I never used to pay that much attention to, like, when a guy goes down and then a teammate comes to help him
lift him up.
And I learned, I worked, and it was actually on this station a long time ago, I worked with F.P. Santangelo, and F.P. played in the majors, and I remember him saying, he didn't play basketball, but he said, he noticed that.
Like, really?
Yeah, you
so
really
player,
can tell when guys are playing
athlete,
for each other or not, and obviously the Kings are locked in there. By the way, did you see what your guy Dylan Brooks did?
No, with Dylan Brooks.
Somebody, one of the Rockets, I think it was Jabari Smith Jr., he's down on the floor.
Yeah.
This is a couple nights ago, and he's sitting there, and Josh Giddey comes over.
Oh, I think I did
like,
see
to
this.
Help him up, and Dylan
gave
Brooks.
Gave him a little shove,
boom!
Like, you don't help my guy up.
Knocks him out.
Right, I did see that. Dylan, he's always trying to send a message, right?
Yeah,
That's my guy, Dylan Brooks. Yeah, I did see that.
But you being on the road with the team, you really get a better sense than we can get of you know, how they get along.
No, they get along fantastic, and that's one thing I could say about this team. No malcontents, no moaning or complaining. Everybody seems to get along. You know, I don't see them, you know, like going out or anything like that,
sure.
You know, and hanging out off the court. But, you know, being in practices, being in shoot-arounds, I don't see any, you know, malcontents or anything like that. That's one thing I could say about, you know, Wes Wilcox and Monty McNair and Paul Johnson about how they built this team. It's a bunch of good guys, you know, guys that enjoy playing with each other, enjoy their roles. And so, you know, I remember in previous years here in Sacramento, you'd hear, you know, a couple of players make some comments, snide comments about playing time, or, you know, coach would say something and somebody under their breath would be like, well, if you played me, you know, just little stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't hear that at all with this year's team, or most of last year's as well. Like, everybody seems to be locked in with each other.
So now that it's all, you know, it's blown over, it's all water under the Tower Bridge, what was that team meeting about, Drapes? You can tell us.
Mike just said that the players just wanted to make sure they listened to the Drive guys. That I think that they just had to reiterate on Sacktown Sports 1140, listen to the Drive guys, the best show out there.
So yes. When they talk about holding each other accountable, it's like, did you listen?
Did you listen?
Did
exactly.
You listen?
Exactly. Yeah, I have no idea. Those kind of things, man, I try to stay out of. You know, it's better that I don't know because I don't want to say anything I might get in trouble for anything.
I
usually just stay out of stuff.
I just thought
like
I'd
that.
See, you know, see knock on
catch
it.
Catch me slipping.
See if
huh?
something fell. But I remember it because that was a day you guys were flying out of Denver?
Yeah, out of Denver. And I was sitting on the bus for an extra hour.
And I think you were on the air with us. You said, yeah, we didn't leave for
we
a long
leave.
Time because there was a meeting.
Yeah, meeting. I'm like, yeah, that smells like a team meeting. And sure enough, because you had everybody waiting on the bus. Like, we were all there except the players and the coaches. Everybody else was ready, you know, and
that's
like,
why you were late, I think, getting to
we were late getting to wherever that next stop was. I don't even remember
Denver,
where it was.
Denver to Phoenix, maybe?
Sounds about right. But that team meeting lasted about an hour extra than what we were supposed to be.
It seems like it may have helped.
You know, it's been up and down, right? Remember that team meeting, I'm going back looking at the schedule here. It was at Denver and then at Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we got beat handily at Denver, 117-96. Came back and beat Minnesota without De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, ooh. But then we came home and lost to Chicago. Remember, it was like, so much of that about
this
team
man,
meeting.
It's like,
right?
What?
Yes. But since then, I, like I said, 10-6 in March, 11-6 since the start of March. That's pretty solid basketball.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back to baseball just for a moment here, because, you know, every year when the season starts, you end up hearing about the new menu items here or there. I just have three quick ones here.
Yeah.
Minor league park menu items. Maybe we can bring them here. And I'm just wondering if you would be interested in these. This was from the West Michigan Whitecaps. They have some, you know what a charcuterie is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
They have a fry-cuterie box. A fry-cuterie box is it's an assortment of fried deliciousness. The fry-cuterie box is served in a pizza box, has waffle fries, mini mashers, cheese curds, jalapeno bacon firecrackers, and a minimum of three sauces. So like nacho cheese, tangy BBQ, zesty chili. Would you go for the fry-cuterie box?
Nah, at first I was going to say yes. I don't know about you, Simone, but those items aren't too appealing to me.
Oh, that's, an upset tummy incoming.
No?
I'm out,
nah,
too.
Out
no?
on that. Out,
I'm
out on that.
You know what? I should say, keep all their stuff. I'll take the waffle fries.
Yeah, the waffle. Dude, you go to Chick-fil-A to get that. Come on. You ain't got to
a couple of cheese curds.
Yeah,
sure.
But after that, it went downhill.
Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, they are offering a rally cap injectable donuts.
What?
The rally cap part, it comes in a helmet.
Okay.
Upside down. And then inside, it's cinnamon sugar blend donuts. They're warm, tossed. So it's like a donut ball.
Yeah.
You can inject, because it comes with a syringe.
The syringe.
Raspberry sauce, chocolate sauce, or Bavarian cream. Any two injections are covered with purchase of the donut holes. All three can be had for an extra $2.50.
out on that too. I'm out on that, dude.
You know, really?
Little, they get too fancy, man. Just give me the donut holes. I'll just.
I know. It's like
it, I don't need all that. It's a ring.
Old fashioned.
Yeah,
yep,
I don't have to put it together myself. Nah.
Bavarian cream, though. Much. I would like to try it.
You will. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then finally, Midland Rockhounds, AA affiliate of the Oakland A's, the PB&J bacon hot dog.
What?
The peanut butter and jelly bacon hot dog. This item originally was thrown on the menu as a joke, but I guess it's still on there, and it's formally on the menu this year. And it's one of those weird things. Peanut butter and jelly bacon hot dog available Momentum Bank Ballpark the past few seasons. Midland Rockhounds. Anybody?
Nah, because, I mean, it's hard to mess up bacon, but somehow they did, right? Like, seriously, somehow they did. Oh, my gosh.
Stinky.
No thanks.
If you had to get one of those three, it's like you're starving. Those are the only three items. You got to get one. You're starving. You're going to the fricoterie board.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah,
and it's shareable. Yes, 1,000%.
Yes, yes.
You're like, do you want some of this? Just be offering my whole row.
There's a picture I'll have to get and show you of the PB&J bacon dog. It doesn't look any better than it sounds. Yeah.
Have you tried a burger dog yet? They have them at the golf courses now. And
the weirdest burger I've ever had is at the state fair a couple years ago. They had donut burgers, which is like a Krispy Kreme is the bun with a burger in between.
How was it? Did you try that?
Good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Wasn't for everybody, but it was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. That doesn't interest you?
Nah. Dinner and dessert right there, all in one.
There you go. When we come back, Kings win. How did they do it? Is it repeatable on the road? Next, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.